Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to SEC Smack Radio.
Tonight it's Wednesday night. We are on Blog Talk Radio. It's Rocket Man. Looks like Shannon's not going to be with us for now. He may be on here just a little bit later, but he hasn't quite made it yet. We've got a few things to talk about tonight. We're going to go over some recruiting rankings. We're going to go over two schedules tonight. We're going to go over Arkansas and Georgia's schedules tonight in the SEC. We're going to talk about some Super Bowl prop bets. We're going to talk about some picks. Maybe hopefully take some calls and get some picks in on the Super Bowl. We're going to go over some basketball right now, actually. Yesterday we had a couple squeakers, some really good basketball games. We had Arkansas knocking off Tennessee at home, 69-64. You had Florida go on the road, and they beat Alabama 52-50. Georgia and Vanderbilt was a better game probably than expected. You get Georgia winning 70-62. Texas A&M over Auburn, pretty much expected, 71-61. Pearl's not quite got that turned around yet. We'll start with Tennessee-Arkansas. You know, Tennessee's my team. Tennessee went down to Arkansas. They had a really, really close, really tight game. Tennessee led at the half. Qualls came out a little bit slow and ended up just taking over towards the end of the game. Tennessee only walking out there with 9 total players, getting some fouls early. But the story of the game really was Qualls and Portis and what Qualls and Portis were able to do against Tennessee's line. Portis was really unchecked underneath the goal and in the paint. And then Qualls was able to shoot from distance and get to the rim. There wasn't a whole lot they were going to be able to do without fouling those guys. They just didn't have any fouls left. And that's what happens when you've got non-scholarship players, you know, and you're playing a talented Arkansas team who's now 16-4. Overall, 5-2 in the SEC. Can't wait to see them match up with the Wildcats of Kentucky, who are still undefeated. Then you had Florida and Alabama. In this game here, it really was a tale of two halves. Florida came out roaring, and they ran past Alabama by 13 points in the first half. Looked like Florida's going to be able to put them away. Second half, not so much, as Alabama turned up the defense. You finally get to see the defense again that Alabama displayed against Tennessee. They turn up the defense in the second half. Florida almost blows the game there, ends up winning by 2. Actually, Alabama outscores Florida by 11 points in the second half, and I thought it was even closer than 2 points. I was really hoping the game was going to go into overtime as I was switching back and forth. You also had Vanderbilt and Georgia. Georgia, they win their 5th straight. They get by Vanderbilt, I think, who lost their 6th straight. Vanderbilt. They're a little hapless right now, but you can look at that team and you can see a lot of talent. They're 11-9 overall, 1-6 in the SEC, and they're freshmen. Those kids are young, you know. They're gonna improve a lot. They're gonna have a lot to do and a lot to say in the future of the conference. Then Texas A&M and Auburn. A&M surprisingly is 5-2, 14-5. Former Murray State coach down there, Kennedy, and he's a He did well at Murray State. It looks like he's starting to get A&M on the track, too. Auburn's got Pearl. They're 10-10 overall, 2-5 in the SEC. They come out. They'd have a better second half, but it just wasn't enough to come back and get the win against a better A&M team. I think when you look at these teams, outside of Arkansas and Florida, I don't really see a tournament team in last night's games. I don't think any of these guys are really going to be able to have an RPI high enough to get maybe even above a 14, 15 seed. But we'll see as it comes down the pipe. You know, Tennessee's got some quality wins. No, I'm not sure about Alabama's schedule. I'll have to check that out. I think Florida's going to get in on merit. You know, they've played a tough schedule. Arkansas, they belong in as far as I'm concerned. With they were ranked. I don't know why they dropped out of the rankings. Their only loss recently was to Tennessee, so I don't understand that. Vanderbilt's not going to get in unless they win the tournament. Georgia could, just by that they're 5-2 in the SEC. Georgia could get in. They're 14-5 overall. Not really that bad. And A&M, I mean, I guess they could get in. It'll be cutting it close. I have to look at their schedule and see who all they've played to really, really think. But when you look at the SEC, I think you're only going to get at max of four teams in. You're going to get max four teams in. When you look at A&M's schedule, you got a quality loss. And I know losses don't really count, but whenever you're discussing teams on the bubble, you're going to say, well, they went out and they only lost by 7 to Kansas State. You know, they have a loss to Dayton, which is a pretty bad loss. Dayton's a pretty bad loss. Baylor's not a terrible loss. Probably their best win, as I see it. Their best loss is to UK, but it's conference, so it doesn't count. Their best win, as I see it, is probably going to be, I'd say, Tennessee. It's their best win, maybe Mississippi State. Northwestern State's not going to do it. College of Charleston, those aren't going to do it. That's not going to do it. So, Arizona State might be a pretty good win, a one-point win there. But anyhow, tonight we've got two games on the schedule. We've got South Carolina and LSU playing right now. That game is 29-28 in favor of LSU with about 19 minutes to go in the second half. LSU looking pretty strong so far. They're 15-4, 4-2 in the SEC. South Carolina, 10-8, 1-5 in the SEC. That's not going to get you in the tournament. Then later we've got the Battle of the Mississippi, man. We've got Mississippi State at Ole Miss later. We've got Mississippi State's 9-10 overall, 2-4 in the SEC. Ole Miss is 12-7, 3-3 in the SEC. So we'll see how that game turns out. Tomorrow night we got a big game, and it's only a big game for Missouri. It's only big for Missouri. Kentucky, they're 19-0. They're 6-0 in the SEC. I don't think they're sweating Missouri too bad. When you're 19-0, you could argue that every game is a big game if you're trying to go undefeated. I don't think any team doesn't try to go undefeated. I think when you start out 0-0, every team is looking to go undefeated. If you're not looking to win every game, then why do you play them? Why do you play them at all? I don't understand. So people want to bag on Calipari for trying to get an undefeated season. He should. He should. Right now, switching over to some recruiting rankings, right now you've got Alabama 1 in the SEC, Tennessee 2, Georgia 3, Texas A&M at 4, LSU has bumped up to 5 and bumped Auburn down to 6, Ole Miss is 7th, South Carolina is 8th, Mississippi State is 9th, Arkansas at 10th. So our top 10 is settled. It's pretty much set in. I don't see that changing much with the exception of Florida. Florida's only got 10 recruits right now. They just hired their new coach. They've got 10. They can sign 15 more. They're in the state of Florida. The talent's there. They're going to jump up. They're definitely going to jump up. They're sitting at 137-73 total, and the top is 312-47 from Alabama, according to the 24/7 rankings. Florida can jump up. I think they can jump up to probably, I'd say, 8th. This late in the season is going to be hard to jump up, you know, into the top 5. But when you look at the talent you've got down in Florida, they should be able to pull some recruits and flip some to be able to get into the top. They should be able to get in the top bunch, I think. But I got some callers on the line right now. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about some schedules. I think we'll start out tonight with the Florida Gators, and we'll see. Excuse me, the Georgia Bulldogs, and we'll see what their schedule looks like and how we think they're going to run it. And I will be back in just a minute. Thanks. This is the SEC Smack Radio and Block Talk Radio.
Take your tailgate party or special event from amateur to national championship with Shannon's Epic Catering. From award-winning barbecue to seafood, homemade sides and sauces, we can create a menu tailored to fit your needs and budget. Why not make your game day epic? Contact Shannon Runnels and see what SEC can do for you. Find Shannon Runnels on Facebook in your favorite sports group.
Hey guys, not sure what to get that special lady for a special event? Check out Hotman's Pearl Necklaces. Here at Hotman's, we only shoot out the finest pearl clusters. That way you show your special someone just how much you enjoyed your special event. Welcome back, Blog Talk Radio. This is Smack Radio on Blog Talk Radio. What we want to do now, let's go ahead and head down this Georgia Bulldog schedule. If there are any Bulldog fans are out there, they want to call in and talk about it. We'll do that. Got the G-Day game. I'm pretty sure that Georgia's going to lose that one because, you know, G-Day is pretty tough. But they start out September the 5th. They've got Louisiana Monroe at home. Then they go to Vanderbilt in Nashville. They go back home for South Carolina. I'm really interested in the South Carolina game. It always seems to be a bugaboo for them. I'm not sure why. I think they're superior talented to South Carolina most years. I don't know if Rick is as good as Spurrier, but I know that he recruits pretty well. You can look at him, look at their freshman class that came in last year, and you got Chubb and Michael, and what Chubb did, and you got to know that these cats, they got a good head coach, and they know what's going on. But Spurrier somehow always comes up and bites him in the ass with a little less talent, in my opinion. You got Southern, the Jaguars coming into Sanford, and then Alabama is coming in. I think we need to circle that one on our calendar. I think the Alabama-Georgia game at Georgia is going to be a really critical game to the SEC. If it was at Alabama, it might be a little bit more, it might not be the game of the week if it's at Alabama, but when you go to Georgia, you get down between the hedges. I think anybody in the East can tell you when you get down there, man, it's a tough environment. It's going to be tough on Alabama to go there and get the win. They're losing their starting quarterback. They're losing Cooper. I mean, they're losing their top three guys on offense, and they're going to have to keep up. I don't care who you are. You're going to have to keep up with Georgia. And then they go to Tennessee. And Tennessee's going to be a tough win for them if they get the win. I don't think they will get the win, but, you know, I'm a Tennessee fan, so I can say that. Then Missouri, they get Missouri at home, and they pick Missouri for their homecoming. If I'm Missouri, I'd be upset. And then they get an open date before they have the biggest cocktail party. It's time for the Florida Gators. They're going to do it in Jacksonville at 3:30 on CBS. They get Kentucky at home. They go to Auburn. Auburn's going to be looking for revenge in that game. They get GSU, Georgia Southern Eagles. And then they've got Georgia Tech on the road, who beat them last year. Shannon, are you there? You ready? I guess he's not. Let me go ahead and see if he is. Hey, Shannon, are you ready, buddy?
Yeah, I guess we had some dead airspace there. I heard some racket in the background. I really wasn't even I didn't even know if I was still connected. Anyway, I was thanking you for taking over tonight and kind of making sure everything was rocking and rolling. And I guess we're going to do a breakdown of Georgia's schedule, aren't we?
Yeah, I just ran down the schedule. I thought you were able to hear me. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. But we ran down the schedule, Louisiana Monroe, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. I was looking at a couple dates. They get Alabama at home. Then they get Tennessee on the road. What do you think about those two games? That's a pretty good two-week tilt there.
Yeah, you said Tennessee on the road. I mean, that's going to be a pretty big one this year for them. And I personally think that the East is going to be determined between Tennessee and Georgia this year. I really don't see South Carolina doing it. And the only reason I don't is because of all the, Sp- Spurrier has not helped their recruiting at all with, there's a lot of rumors about him leaving, possibly leaving, has not helped them at all. And that's the reason I would not pick South Carolina to be really one of the bigger players this year. Florida's got a new coach. They could do it, but that's going to be hard to do in his first year. To me, I see it could be Missouri's lost a lot, is losing a lot of people too.
Right.
But if I'm not mistaken, they're losing a quarterback and a running back. That's going to be a tough one for them. I mean, they've done great their first few years in the SEC. They've done great, but I just don't see them being – they might upset somebody's year, but I just don't see them being a player this year like they have been in the last 2 years. What's your take on the whole – I mean, you're playing Alabama at home, aren't they?
They are, and they've got Alabama at home, and then they have Tennessee on the road, and then they take Missouri at home. So it's a good thing you brought up Missouri. When you look at the Alabama game, that's going to mean a lot for the entire of the SEC, I think. Because Alabama, if they lose a game to the East, that's going to really junk up the West. Because you've got a couple of teams, one of them we're going to talk about in Arkansas, that are up and coming. LSU is going to be better next year. You got to think Auburn's going to be better. I don't know about Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I think both of them are probably going to take a step back. But
I think Mississippi State doesn't have a choice.
Texas A&M's coming up. I think you're right.
I mean, when you lose that many players in a single season, I mean, it's been amazing that LSU could even, be one of those teams that are mentioned when other teams play them, and one that is always a threat to other teams in light of losing 23 players in the last 2 years. You take Mississippi State, I saw it, they had either 17 or 18 players leaving. There's no way their recruiting is that strong that they could can bounce back from this like that. I think they're definitely going to take a step back. I think Ole Miss is going to take a step back, but not quite as bad. So really in the West, you've got Arkansas, pretty much the ones you just mentioned. You got Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, LSU in the West.
A&M.
And you've got Texas A&M, which I don't even know where to put them right now. I mean, I don't think anybody does.
I feel like they're going to be better because I think whenever Kenny Hill, he pretty much moved on, right? So you come in. I can't remember the kid's name that came in right offhand. I probably should do some research before I start talking about it, but I didn't. They're going to be able to block for that guy better this year. Their defense can't do anything but improve under Javis. I mean, because that defense has not been good since he's been in the SEC. So, I mean, you got to think A&M is going to be better. So when you look at what Alabama's losing versus what everyone else in the West is gaining, this Georgia game, it's going to be big for Alabama. Going on the road and playing the Georgia Bulldogs outside of
right.
your division, it's going to be huge.
I agree. I mean, but if I'm Georgia, the bigger game for me would be the on-the-road game to Tennessee. The Georgia-Alabama game, a big game for Georgia, I think it's even – I'm kind of agreeing with you. I think it's even bigger for Alabama, that game right there.
Yeah.
That's what determines their season. And do you know what week do you have it in front of you? You know what week they play?
Yeah, they play on the third. That's a week.
Third week. All right. Well, then it's all the more important.
It's on the third, October 3rd. So it's week 5.
Right.
You know,
and if I recall, I mean, you got Alabama's going to be playing Wisconsin. That's basically on the road. It's a neutral site. Then what was their second week game?
Alabama.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring this up is it has every
game.
It has
MTSU. But then here's the thing. They get MTSU in week 2, and then they come out in week 3 with Ole Miss.
Right.
So, I mean, they've got a revenge game at home against Ole Miss, and then they've got Louisiana Monroe. It looks like they've split their schedule up pretty well as far as having their cupcakes splitting up their big games. But anyhow,
actually,
Georgia's schedule,
actually
though,
for Yeah, I mean, Georgia's schedule right there, I would say it's not the toughest schedule in the SEC by any means. But the key games are and the weeks they show up and the ones that they got on the road are very crucial to Georgia's ability to represent the West. I think it'll end up balling down to Georgia and Tennessee, in my opinion. Of course, we got callers out there that might feel differently, and if they do, then by all means, call in. By the way, if you could list the phone call the phone number for everybody to call in, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, if you want to call in and talk right now, it's 347-237-4664. Just call in, and we'll get you on. If it takes a second for us to see you, it's because we're winging it right now a little bit. We're not ESPN. We're doing the best we can do. But you call on in, and we'll get you in. I see Ryan Dupuis out there somewhere. So, you know, if he wants to give us a little tug, just come on with it. Georgia's schedule, you say it's easy, but when you look at the second half, it's really not that great, because we've already talked about the first half. In the second half, they get the Florida Gators. You know, they come off their open date, and on Halloween, they get the Florida Gators on a neutral site. They get Kentucky at home, but I mean, come on. Then they got to go to Jordan-Hare. They got Auburn on the road.
That's a tough one.
That's not going to be an easy game. That's going to be a tough game when you go to Jordan-Hare, man. That's a tough game.
I don't think they have an easy schedule. I just don't think they have a tough schedule, if that makes sense. I mean, you look at Florida, tough schedule. No schedule in the SEC, in my opinion, has a tougher schedule than Florida this year. So, in comparison, it's not an easy schedule, but it's just not a tough schedule. So, if you know, at the end of the season, if you're comparing teams for strength of schedule, Georgia's going to have a problem with that, unless they win all their away games.
If you want to talk tough schedules, let's go ahead and switch over to Arkansas then. Because I think Georgia, they're probably going to win out that last outside of the Florida game. Because they stomp Auburn at home. So we'll go ahead and just say we'll mark that a dub for them. And we'll say, you know, Florida's going to be tough in Jacksonville because that's the way it always is. They'll beat Kentucky. They'll beat Auburn. They'll beat Georgia Southern. And then they got Georgia Tech on the road at Bobby Dobbs Stadium. That's not an easy game either, but I think this is the year they go get it. They've won it years before. They lost last year. I think this year they'll go get it. So we'll switch over right now. Arkansas schedule. I think their spring football game they'll probably lose because they're Arkansas. What do you think about that?
Which one?
Their spring football game. They'll probably lose it just because they're Arkansas.
You know, those Arkansas fans, man, they've been chomping at the bit ever since they won those two games back-to-back. So I'm sure they would disagree with that, but yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, they figured it out. They figured it out as far as their scheduling goes, because they're starting out with UTEP, Toledo, and Texas Tech. And if I'm not mistaken, they stomped Texas Tech last year, did they not, on the road?
They sure did, yes.
So... And then they kick off their schedule, their real schedule, and it becomes a brutal mess. It becomes an absolute brutal mess because after they go and stomp the shit at Texas Tech, they get Texas A&M at home, they go to Tennessee, they go to Alabama, they get Auburn at home, they get a bye week with UT Martin, and then they go to Ole Miss, go to LSU. I mean, that is murderer's row, man. That is murderer's row.
They probably have the hardest schedule in the West. I would compare them with Florida on their schedule. No doubt about it. I mean, that's going to be – but they have the same opportunity that Florida does. You win that schedule, you win the West. You will win your division. I mean, there's just no way you could argue it. I mean, even LSU could win all of their games. And Arkansas, well, that's up till the Arkansas game. And if you looked at both of them, you would still have to go with Arkansas. You know, LSU has one of the easiest schedules they've had in 5 years. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to go into some of these places. Their away games are going to be brutal. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's a murderer's row right there. That's crazy.
Maybe we got some Arkansas callers out there that feel differently. I mean, I think they have a possibility of doing it. Here's your opportunity. This is where you, if Arkansas can pull this off, nobody out here will say that Arkansas is not back.
Well, my question to you is, do they have the depth yet? Now, I realize that they've gotten some good recruits, but do they have the depth? Do they have somebody who can step in and in a defensive tackle rotation, an offensive line rotation? If you get a starting left tackle go down or a starting right guard go down, do they have those guys yet? I don't know. I really don't.
You know, I haven't really researched their recruiting, but I will tell you this. I mean, personally, just don't think that as long as they keep everybody healthy, I think they can do very well. I think that, but I don't recall hearing anything about their recruiting that would give me an indicator that think that they have this depth that they can. And you know what? You're gonna have injuries, especially with a schedule like that going on the road. You're going to have them. I mean, it's part of being in the SEC. It's part of being, of having a football program, but especially in the SEC. And that's the one that gets all of us every year, late in the season, November, late October rolls around, and now you're dealing with your depth. And, that's the difference in the SEC and the Big Ten and all the other conferences, whereas we have to deal with it a little bit more than everybody else. And I don't even think anybody in the Big Ten would argue that. I really don't. I mean, this isn't the Paul Feinbaum show. We don't have, 18,000 people from the Big Ten listening in. But, if there is one out there, it'd be a hard one to argue that that they have to deal with this to the degree that SEC teams do.
And you're right.
I mean, we beat the crap out of each other.
When you get Northwestern and, you get Illinois and you get Indiana, and that's your schedule in conference, that's pretty cool. I take that, because I think Kentucky. I don't think Vanderbilt would beat those teams, but I think Kentucky would beat those teams. Do you think Kentucky would beat those teams?
Well, I know Kentucky this year would have beat those teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm not very sure. Say again.
Our current rosters. I think our current rosters and what we're looking at with the talent and coaching. I think Kentucky
would hold out well. But, I mean, the problem that you're talking about is, yes, they don't have to deal with this, but then they could be a TCU where they win damn near every game but still don't get in the top four because of that same thing, your strength of schedule, the conference you're playing in, that's where at the end of the year where, the SEC really shines. If you're Arkansas or you're Florida and you play that schedule and you actually pull it off, nobody can stop you from going to the playoffs. I mean, it's absolutely given you're going to be in the playoffs. Personally, I think the bowl games this year proved without a doubt that the SEC was definitely not on their game this year. This was not the year to be looking at the SEC to show as an example. But it's one of the rare years. I think we could all agree on that.
The results are what matters, and we did not dominate like we usually do. I mean, we come out with 7 wins, but we also come out with 5 losses. This could be a result of having more people, having more teams into the bowl games. Yeah, but. I mean, come on, we lost the big ones. I mean, Alabama lost to Ohio State in a game that looked like they had won in the first half. Ole Miss, who was in the top 5 all year, got ran. I mean, they got ran, and so did Mississippi State. I mean, we got to step up.
I think Ole Miss is the worst. Was it of the bowl games I saw? It was a melee. The Ole Miss game. There's no taking up for that. For even for an Ole Miss fan, they can say what they want, but how do you defend what happened there? I mean, it's just take your ass whooping, you know.
So what do you think? Like, to me, I think the Auburn loss and the LSU loss, those are toss ups, and they just got the wrong end of the deal. You know, they have won the games?
Fan,
I think.
Right, and I agree, but I mean, being an LSU fan, I mean, you know, I want to bowl for my team, but I will tell you this: that game was no different than the LSU Alabama game, and as an LSU fan, and I'll tell you why. It boils down to in my opinion, a bad call towards the end of the game. But LSU should have never, ever been within. I mean, look, when your game has to be called on a crappy call like that, you know, you can't really just blame the whole game on that. It should have never been that close. There's no way that LSU should have let Notre Dame score that many points in them. No way.
No, no doubt. That's not a change. You know, that's not a change in defense, and I think that's part of the reason why he's gone.
I've said before, but I'll say it again. Chavis is a good. I mean, he's a good coach. He just wasn't good for LSU at the time, and there needs to be some new blood. I mean, it's like having a really good girlfriend that just isn't good for you anymore. You know, it comes a time you just got to break up, and she'll be good for somebody else, and you'll be good for somebody else too. But you know, it's just. That's the way it is at that particular point. And I think that game right there proved it.
Well, Shannon, I tell you what we're going to do right now. I think if you're cool with it, let's go ahead. We'll take a little break. We're going to play the booty song just because we always play the booty song about halfway through the show. And then we'll throw in a couple commercials. And we've got Tim and we've got David Tanner on the line. We're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl. And we're just gonna chat. We got some callers. Hopefully, we get some more. And we'll be right back here in just a second.
Take your tailgate party or special event from amateur to national championship with Shannon's Epic Catering. From award-winning barbecue to seafood, homemade sides and sauces, we can create a menu tailored to fit your needs and budget. Why not make your game day epic? Contact Shannon Runnels and see what SEC can do for you. Find Shannon Runnels on Facebook in your favorite sports group.
Hey guys, not sure what to get that special lady for a special event? Check out Hotman's Pearl Necklaces. Here at Hotman's, we only shoot out the finest pearl clusters. That way you show your special someone just how much you enjoyed your special event. Hey guys, welcome back. This is Smack Radio. We haven't got to the booty song yet, so we just wanted to drop that on you real quick.
Look at that booty, show me the booty, give me the booty, I want the booty, back up the booty, I need the booty, I like the booty, oh what a booty, shaking that booty, I saw the booty, I want the booty, Lord what a booty, bring on the booty, give up the booty, loving the booty, round booty, down for the booty, I want the booty, hunting the booty, chasing the booty, casing the booty, getting the booty, beautiful booty, smoking booty, talk to the booty, more booty, fine booty.
Welcome back to STC Smack Radio on Blog Talk Radio. This is Rocket Man. We've got Shannon here finally. Shannon, give him a shout out.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Call in.
We got a couple callers on the line. We got a couple regulars. We got a regular out there named Ryan Dupuy that isn't calling in yet. He's kind of a pussy. You know, he didn't want to talk about it because they suck. But anyhow, we've got Tim on the line. We want to have Tim come out, and we'll ask him a few questions. I want to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. Tim, how you doing tonight, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing? How you
doing,
Tim? Doing
good, man.
You're doing good. Fuck Alabama, first of all. Let's get that out of the way. And fuck David Tanner. Just fuck Tanner just because it's Tanner. But anyway, other than that,
You do know I'm going to put you on the line with Tanner here in just a minute.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to owning his ass again.
Tim, what do you think about recruiting right now? Overall in the SEC, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, obviously Alabama's up there. I mean, that's no news flash. And obviously I'm excited how we're doing. But really what I like to look at most is how shitty Florida's doing. I mean, I heard you say earlier that you thought that they might get in the top 10. And I'm not just saying this because I hate Florida. They're like at, what, 80 right now? And there's a week or so left. I see no way they even get in the top 10. They'd be doing good to get in the top 25. I mean, you're talking about jumping 60, 70, 80 spots in about a week and a half.
You don't think they're going to flip anybody then?
Oh, they're going to flip. They've already started. They're doing pretty good. I mean, they were at 102, what, 3 days ago? And they're up to 80 now. I mean, they're up there with, like, Western Kentucky and them. I mean, that's great. But they got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I just don't see them getting in the top 10. I think they might break 25, maybe.
Well, I think they'll be in the top 25. I really do.
I mean, that would be a success to even get there.
And it will. You got the top 25 for them, and you know what? You're right. That would be a success. I mean, considering they've got a brand-new coach.
He's only been there like a week. He's got no time. I mean, it's not his fault. It's just the timing's horrible. He just doesn't have any time to hardly do anything.
I got to tell you, I think about it like if I were an 18-year-old with a 4-4, what am I looking for, man? I'm looking for sand and sun. I'm looking for some beach honeys. I'm looking for some recent wins. You know, they've got two national championships.
Well, then you might go to Florida State or Miami. You wouldn't go to gonorrhea country. I mean, Gainesville is not Miami. It's not Florida State. It's Gainesville.
Well, Florida State does have a porn case, I guess, from what I've been seeing. So that might be a good thing. But, I mean, you're going to get playing time, though, if you go there. And you're talking about being a recruit. That's what I would be looking at is playing time. And I'm, you know, not to knock Alabama too much here, but I'm surprised that Alabama did so well this year, considering that if you're a recruit there, there is a high probability, a very high probability, you're going to sit on that bench most of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how they do it either. I mean, they got 50 running backs there that could start anywhere in the country, but they'll sit there and ride the pine for 3 years.
And that's, you know, and if you never play, I can guarantee you, you'll never go to the NFL. I mean, that's the thing that.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. I'll give you that.
Madcast.
Your odds of
Madcast.
Going to the NFL have been cut drastically. Can we agree on that? I mean,
I had to be a dick. Right now, LSU is behind. 49-48 to South Carolina with about 7 minutes and 15 seconds to go. Looks like South Carolina just scored again. They're going to go up 51-48, and we got a really good game going on.
Wow, and I can't watch it right now. That sucks. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the steering wheel. But, I mean, you know, back to the Florida thing, I think Florida this year is going to – I mean, it's definitely a rebuilding year. There's just no denying it. I mean, you know, no fan likes to admit they're in a rebuilding year. But that's definitely – if you had to pick one team in the SEC, that is a rebuilding team right there. If they get in the top 25, if they finish in the top 20, I mean, you know, that's not bad.
Top 25 to win schedule. For them. Right now,
we're
going to
talk
a
little recruiting. Let's go ahead and pull David Tanner in real quick. I'm going to put you on hold for just a second. We're going to talk a little recruiting with Tanner as well. Tanner's got a really good insight on what's going on. So, David Tanner, welcome to the show. This is SEC Smack Radio and Blog Talk Radio. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, boys, how you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Wait, did you put Tim on hold?
Yeah, I put Tim on hold for a second. I wanted to ask you about some recruiting. What do you think about Florida getting up into the top 10?
Well, you know, it's impossible. Okay, at this point, it's impossible. It's too late in the game. Relationships have been established already. I mean, from what I've seen, official visit day hasn't gone well with them. The thing I find shocking is, and this might have a little indication on you know, what they want to do there, and it might have something to do with how the inmates ran the asylum towards the end of the Urban Meyer area, and you got to be careful with these guys. But I'm surprised that they haven't really gone after a bunch of JUCOs like they could to come in and make an immediate impact and go ahead and, you know, because there are some good JUCO players out there. A lot of them have baggage. You know, a lot of guys don't like to touch JUCOs. You'll see a high JUCO influx unless, you know, a coach is really in trouble with holding his job. You know, they'll pull the cord on those guys. But I'm really surprised that they haven't gone after too many JUCOs, which I think it indicates to me, I think that UF is just going to take what they can get this season, you know, start, go ahead and offering those juniors now, coming out this year, and just take their lumps this year and really try to hit it big coming up with the next recruiting class is what I think. I think that McElwain, they're tired of the rotation of coaches. They want this guy to last, and, you know, he's got a little more extra time. So his balls aren't on the bandsaw yet, so.
Do you think that the Florida fan base is willing to accept
that's
that
a really good point.
For this long? As long as that's going to take, do you think the Florida fan base is ready to do that?
They're going to have to, you know what I mean? And you Tennessee fans, you know, obviously, you know, Florida didn't have – you know, it's not the same sort of story that Tennessee had. Now, listen, here's another thing, guys. There's still some pretty talented players there. You know, and there's not too many leaving. And you know, Muschamp has recruited some decent defenses in the past. So there's still guys to work there. Just because they're not having a good recruiting season this year, those, you know, there's only probably about 5% of those guys that would even, you know, help this team this year, you know, coming in the next season. So, you know, there's still talent there, and they can, you know, and the East is still not super dominant. I mean, it's still winnable. I mean, look at South Carolina. You know, Tennessee is up and coming, but, you know, you don't know yet, you know, how high or how good they can get. And, you know, Georgia's still, you know, their defense isn't going to be as good next year. They do have a strong running game. They still don't have an answer at quarterback. So, you know, just because they're not having a good recruiting time, don't write Florida off as just being this shit team. McElwain's a good coach, guys. He's you should see with the kind of athletes. Yeah, he had D. Hart at Colorado State, and his quarterback looked pretty good in the Senior Bowl. You know, he threw for a ton of yards, but, you know, the players that he had, I've seen some of the players that he's taken out of Orlando, and what he's done up there has been impressive. And even playing against Alabama, he, you know, that's an impressive football team they had, if you remember, from 2 years ago. So he's a good coach. You know,
my reason for thinking that, all right, they're not going to start out the season in the top 20. But
no,
with that schedule
absolutely
right
not.
There, you wouldn't have to win. You would not have to. All you have to do is win most of your games to show up in the top 20.
Absolutely,
that is a hard schedule. So that's why I'm saying they have every opportunity. With that schedule right there, they have every opportunity to really come out with McElwain having a really good showing on his first year, considering what he stepped into.
Right.
Well, let me ask you both a big question here. If I was going to say, hey, let's put down a month's pay. Let's put down a month's pay on it, and say Florida's going to go 4-8, or Florida's going to go 8-4. What you putting your month's pay on? You don't have a choice. Ooh. You have to put it on one or the other.
It's a tough one.
I'm going to go 4-8. I'm going to go 4-8 this year, but I'd go 12. I'd go 12 games next year though. Tanner, they've got talent there. They've got
They've
a lot
got
of
the talent
questions.
To be better than 4-8
this year.
They might
go 8-4. I think that's what makes me think they might go 8-4. Because of exactly what Tanner says, the talent that was already there that everybody's just somehow overlooking right now because of the can't see the forest for the trees. But, you know, the first one to say they've got a hard schedule, but that's an opportunity. You know, when you look at a hard schedule, that's not always a bad thing. That's opportunity.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And to add to that, I mean, The problem with Florida in the Muschamp era was, first of all, they never found an identity on offense. You know what I mean? And if he can sit there and establish an identity on offense and says, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be a spread team, or we're going to be a power read team, or whatever he decides to do with what he's got, and they keep that plan in place, it's going to be all right. Because Muschamp switched that shit so many times, it's not even funny. Of course, you know, they're not going to have Driscoll. They got to have a guy that's going to step up. You know, there's some pretty good guys at running back there. You know, you still got Matt Jones. He looks Jones pretty good. You got him as well. The offensive line isn't that bad. I mean, it got injured real bad last year. So there's still plenty of time. That defense is still pretty damn good too, guys. And there's Muschamp was recruiting defensive guys out the ass. So, you know, if you got to pick one of the two, I'd feel safer at saying 4-8, but, you know, I think to myself, you know, I think about a 500 football team. I think they're a 500 football team next year, 5-5, and I think they'll be happy with that, with bigger expectations into the next year.
My team has to play them next year, and I'm never comfortable playing in Florida. I mean, it's always one of those that they will show up for the game. So.
They will, and I'll be at that game next year with Alabama and Florida, and, you know, I don't like going into the swamp, no matter when it is, even when Rex Grossman at the helm. I don't want to go there.
Right.
Wasn't bad. Guys, what we're going to do right now, we're going to go ahead and move on from this segment. We are go ahead and throw a commercial on real quick. We're going to bring Tim back. We're going to talk about some Super Bowl and finish the show up. Hopefully we'll get a couple more calls. Put you all back where you need to be, and here we go.
Take your tailgate party or special event from amateur to national championship with Shannon's Epic Catering. From award-winning barbecue to seafood, homemade sides and sauces, we can create a menu tailored to fit your needs and budget. Why not make your game day epic? Contact Shannon Runnels and see what SEC can do for you. Find Shannon Runnels on Facebook in your favorite sports group.
Welcome back to SEC Smack Radio. This is Rocket Man and Shannon Runnels. We are on Blog Talk Radio. We're ready to bring in some callers. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl here and who everybody's picking. I'm sure we're going to get a whole bunch of people saying we're not going to watch it because we don't like the team. Get over it, asshole. It's the last good football before football ends. Right now, Shannon, what do you think, brother?
Yeah.
What you got going on?
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's going to be a tough – you know, I'm afraid it's going to be another snooze ball like last year. I hope it won't. In order to make things a little more interesting around our place, we're having a big Super Bowl party. And we're doing somebody's
shut
making
your...
some noise back there. But anyway, we're gonna be cooking. We're going to be betting. We got some, some of the boards we'll be playing and stuff like that. So that's what we're doing. I really would not like to see New England win another ring, so I guess I'm going to be pulling for the Seahawks. But then the whole problem with the Seahawks is Marshawn Lynch just pisses me off. That's just me. It's his personality.
Why?
He's playing the media right now. If you look at him a couple of years ago, he was running his mouth like crazy. Now he's pulling his shit. I think it's all a ploy. I really do.
Did you ever think maybe he learned his damn lesson? And just decided not to talk at all.
Well, that's
by the way, LSU,
lesson that he's playing
South Carolina
now.
Right now, South Carolina's up 56-55 with the basketball over LSU with 2:36 left to go. Timeout to South Carolina. Sorry, this game is getting really, really good.
No, I wish I could be watching it, but no, I don't know about Marshawn Lynch. I mean, on the field, he's great. He's awesome. All of us want him for our fantasy football leagues, but. He goes from one extreme to the other, and it's like, dude, just freaking play football, man. Quit the bullshit. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to not, you know, to sit there. Look, if I was Roger Goodell,
he'd be an asshole.
I'd fix his ass right now. I would give him a 2-hour Barbara Walters interview right after the Super Bowl. It's like, you want to play this game? Look, come on. I'll put you 2 hours of Barbara Walters.
Let me be an asshole, brother.
What's that?
You said yourself, just play football.
Exactly.
And that's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to go talk to the media. Talking to the media is not playing football.
That's part of your job. It's part of your job. You know, and if it wasn't part of your job, you wouldn't be being fined tens of thousands of dollars every time you screw it up and intentionally screw it up. Yeah. Some people are trying to say
it's the stupidest part of the job.
And I agree. But, you know, I'm sitting in Johnson City right now because it's part of my job. I mean, it's just part of, you know, you got to grow up and be an adult and do what you got to do to make a living. And this guy's just going to be an asshole, whether he's talking to the media. He gets in trouble for, you know, saying stupid shit a few years ago. And now he's refusing to talk to the media when it's like, dude, just grow up. You know, you got to do your interviews, you know. And, you know, that's the biggest thing out of this whole damn Super Bowl is going to be Deflategate and Marshawn Lynch not wanting to talk to the media, which is boring.
Well, I mean,
you know.
Seriously, man. I mean, come on, Shannon. You really want to tell me you have that big of a problem with the way he's answering the media?
It's taking away from football. It's taking away from the things that we could be talking about the Super Bowl. I mean, look at us right now. We've already, you know, been talking about it for a good 3 minutes about Marshawn Lynch. Of course, I brought it up. But my point is everybody's thinking it. And this whole Deflategate, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal if they hadn't been caught cheating before. Does Deflated Ball cause a
Super Bowl Media Day?
What's that?
Have you ever watched Super Bowl Media Day?
Oh, it is. It's stupid. They ask the same damn questions. They ask stupid questions. I mean, you know, but that's part of the game. And that's part of how it works, you know. And that's, you know, if you're going to be a football player and you're going to be one of the key players making the biggest amount of money, you know, get with the program, man. You know, do your damn job. If he would answer the media's questions, it would go a lot quicker and a lot smoother than what he's doing right now. And he's just drawing attention.
So if he runs for $175 and 2 touchdowns, you think anybody's going to give a fuck about his media day?
You know what? If he wins the Super Bowl, nobody will give a shit.
I'm going to bring.
If he doesn't win the Super Bowl, he's going to be a.
No, you're right. You're right. If he doesn't win, he's going to be a scapegoat.
Did you just bring me in, Timon?
Yeah, come on in, guys. We got another 8 minutes left of the show. Let's get y'all's take on the Super Bowl.
Go ahead. I'll let the sawed-off fucker go first.
Thanks a lot, Embrid. I mean, I hate New England. I hate Tom Brady. I mean, I really do. And so that makes me want to go for Seattle just because, but – I mean, my honest opinion is, I mean, I think the Patriots are going to pull it off.
Well,
I just do. I hate them, but.
I mean, Bill Belichick, I don't care about, you know, deflated footballs or whatever. None of that shit makes a difference. That's all just something the media's got to latch onto before the Super Bowl. How many Super Bowls have we had without some sort of stupid-ass controversy before the damn game's played? It's just ESPN just being the puppet master. But the matchups, you got to like Seattle with the matchups because that secondary and that defense is so harsh. And when you eyeball test New England, you look at the receivers and you're just like, how the hell are these guys in the Super Bowl? I mean, damn, Julian Ellerman looks like me. You know what I mean? I mean, he looks like Tim. How the hell is he burning people? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but Tom Brady, I hate him. I mean, his damn wife is hot as shit. He's a damn good quarterback. Bill Belichick is a mastermind. But I think the Pats just pull it out. I really do. You know, I just think that their defense is good enough possibly to start, you know, to stop beast mode. And we'll see. I think it's going to be a close game. It ain't going to be like last year. And snooze fest, or I don't give a shit who's playing. It's football. It's guys hitting each other. It's the last damn football game of the year before you have to actually pretend like you really like basketball. So, I mean, here you go.
Great point.
Do what?
Tim,
open your mouth, Tim. What are you doing?
I can't hear you. You're cutting off. I was busy jacking off your picture. Give me a second.
Nasty motherfucker.
Tennessee fans and their fucking Boost mobile phones. Just
I
fucking listen.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that you were really excited about guys rubbing on each other. That was your favorite part about football, was guys rubbing on each other. I mean, that's what you said, right?
Listen, Tim. Don't get feisty.
Mike Leach,
my dick
Mike
is bigger
Leach,
than you.
Tipping
all right.
2.0.
Hey, air rated out, baby. It's the only way to go.
That's
why?
Right. That's
you
right.
Can't sack him if you can get rid of it quick enough. Maybe, you know, it's a great offense there, buddy. But, you know, I like it that you come on the air and give my great Crimson Tide the respect that they deserve by getting another great recruiting class. By, you know, just – and you know you're not going to beat us next year. So
well, we're going to kick the shit out of you. But
you ain't going to kick the
great.
Shit out of us. You ain't going to come
30,
in a Bryant Denny 10, and do shit
30,
by 30.
30.
Shut the
we're going to shit on the 50-yard line by 30.
You know, shit on – yeah, you are going to shit on the 50-yard line. Or you're going to shit before the
– Got to tell you guys, I'm sorry to cut you off.
We've got
Scotty D.
Show here.
And I'm going
to
pull Scotty D in.
Real quick, who's your pick for Super Bowl, Robert?
I'm taking the Seahawks. What about you?
I'm pulling for the Seahawks. I'm thinking New England's going to do it, but I've got to pull for the one I want. So I'm going to pull for the Seahawks.
All right, well, I'm going to pull Scotty D from Arkansas in real quick because we have not had an Arkansas fan yet. So let's get an Arkansas fan on the show. Scotty, what's a good word, brother?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Man, I just want to talk about the game on Saturday in Gainesville. I'm telling you, Arkansas is going to take it to them. I mean, down goes Frazier. He is going down.
Fucking A, man. Fucking A,
I'm
man.
I'm telling you, what's your thoughts
game
on the game?
Coming up?
I believe so, man. And that one hyphenated dude that y'all got, I don't know, what's his name? Dorian, whatever. I mean, he's going down too, man. Bobby Portis. And Qualls are going to just dominate the game. We are taking y'all out in Gainesville. Mark it down.
So you want to talk about Finney Smith that way?
Just say,
that's
I mean,
the
highest name
motherfucker
come on,
Finney Smith.
I mean, come on. Hey, Rocket Man, you're burning out your fuse up there alone, okay? All I'm saying,
every day of the week.
Is Arkansas is taking Florida down.
So, I'm a UT
fan, right,
brother.
Real quick, because we don't have a lot of – is he still online?
Yeah, man, I'm still online.
Okay.
I'm predicting that Arkansas will win about 74 to 68. Mark it down. Got a D. Little Rock, Arkansas.
Let us know real quick. What's your take on Arkansas's recruiting right now?
Man, I think it's pretty good. I mean, I hate the fact that Florida, you know, Randy Shannon being there has taken two massive recruits from us. But, you know, we'll be all right. I think we're going to finish up in the top 20. So, I mean, that's the best recruiting we've had in the past, you know, 20 years. So, I mean, it's pretty good for us. So, I'll take it.
Good deal. Well, hey, Rob, we appreciate you calling in the show. Hey, man, don't be a stranger. We want you to call in more.
Hey,
most definitely. I just now discovered this.
Pick?
So, man, I'm a 49ers fan, so I can't stand the Seahawks. So, anyone but the Seahawks.
All right, man. So you're going against the Seahawks?
Yeah. Patriots.
Done. He picks the Patriots.
All right,
brother. Shannon, it was a good show, man. Good to get you in here. Sorry I fucked off so long.
No, man, you did
going.
Great. Thank you for jumping in there and making sure it happened tonight. Because without you, it would not have.
I appreciate that.
All right,
why don't you
close this out since you're at the controls.
Well, I want to say somebody needs to find Ryan Dupuy and punch him in the face for not listening on the whole show. I want to give a shout-out to my Tennessee Volunteers. Get a good win. And I want to say, hey, go SEC. Let's get this all done, and let's be the best we can be.